Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
She had absolutely no idea that her life was about to change. Watching ESPN on a Sunday morning, Kathy Parker heard the unlikely story of a group of Alaskan athletes from beyond the Arctic Circle struggling to start a football program while playing on a field of tundra and gravel. She suddenly found herself with an idea and a nudge that she could not ignore. What if she and her community could provide an artificial turf field for the Barrow Whalers and help these kids realize their dream of playing football? It was the beginning of a nationwide movement that overcame obstacle after obstacle, that saw what started as a call on Kathy's life become so much bigger, that brought two football teams and two communities together in remarkable ways. Kathy's new book is called Northern Lights, One Woman, Two Teams, and the Football Field That Changed Their Lives. And she joins us today on the road. Welcome to the show, Kathy. How's the day treating you so far?
It's a good day. Thank you, Ryan, for having me on today. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. What a special story. As we set out on this, let's meet you first and then meet Barrow, Alaska, shall we? Yours has been a sports-filled life, right? Your husband, a former pro football player turned school coach. Your kids have all been involved in sports. Tell me about the Parker family and its sporting exploits.
Well, we're a lot like many American families that have more than one child that grow up at the ball field. That's where we lived just about it. My husband and I would tag team with our kids all playing. And so, you know, we've seen the good and the bad that can come from that. You know, our children are grown now. You know, they're in their 20s and have all finished, you know, their college days. And so, you know, now we're just focusing on the ones that my husband has an opportunity to coach. But when our life was revolving around sports, and especially with my husband being a coach, and, you know, those kids spend so much time with those coaches.
Yes.
So, you know, it is, you're going to be a mentor to them, no matter whether you want to or not. You know, they're going to be learning from you, and just taking that as an opportunity and to really sow into the lives of the athletes that, that he had on his team.
So that gives us a great sketch then of the Parker family. Thanks for that. Now the question really becomes, how on earth does Barrow, Alaska, and the football team of Barrow High School, north of the Arctic Circle, come into your life? Because living there in Florida, you know, the Parkers and Barrow, Alaska don't seem like the most natural relationship in the world, Kathy.
As we were getting ready for church, my kids were watching ESPN Outside the Lines, and they were like, "Mom, Dad, you got to come see this." And it was about the struggling community in Alaska, the most northern part, and how they had started a football program to help with some of the problems that they had with kids not wanting to stay in school and getting involved in things that, you know, kids can do when they have a lot of time on their hands. And so they'd started a football program, but it was, you know, unlike where we were in sunny Florida, it was on the frozen tundra. They can't grow grass, so they played on a gravel football field. And they, you know, none of the kids, only two kids on the team, had ever played the sport before. And they had to fly to play every opponent. And it was just, you know, obstacle after obstacle. But I knew, you know, I told my husband, I said, you know, that football program, it's going to save their lives. And he said, yeah, you're right. And it was just one of those things I just couldn't let go of.
Take us inside that a little bit. What was the thinking there? How could it be as powerful as they were discussing it?
Larry Zonka, who's a Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer, he had been up in that area the year before and with his hunting and fishing show. And they asked him if he would, you know, speak to the kids in assembly there at school. And he did, and he talked about football. He talked about playing the game and how he grew up in Ohio and was in a lot of trouble. And he principal told him he couldn't come back to school unless he joined the football team and started taking out his aggressions on the football field. So, you know, he just talked about it. And I guess that something he said just really resonated with them, because when they were given some funding to keep kids in school, they were just having such a hard time. And, you know, and I understand it. When you're in an isolated community, you have no roads going in and out, and you don't have a vision of what life can be with an education. You know, it's really going to, you know, you just didn't, they didn't have anything really to aspire
of
to.
Course.
Subsistence living,
yes,
society where they hunt and fish. And, you know, to be quite honest, you know, I have a son that he would much rather hunt and fish than go to school, you know? So, you know, I could understand just not being motivated.
Of course.
And so they did a survey with the kids and said, you know, what could we implement that would attract you, you know, to that would motivate you? And overwhelmingly, they said, well, if we had a football program here, well, you know, that was problematic, you know, because the closest team's 500 miles away and
wow,
you can't grow grass. And I mean, you know, just on and on and on, and the expense. And so I can understand that, you know, educators were like, no, you know, this is a waste of money. You know, this is, you know, not going to be something that is only going to be able to benefit a, you know, a certain number of children. Now, that's where, you know, I disagreed, because I know how that, you know, sports can go so much further and be so unifying and cross over so many barriers, whether it's race or, you know, socioeconomic groups, just, you know, they just doesn't matter.
Joined on this edition of On the Road of Ford Faith Radio by Kathy Parker, the author of the book Northern Lights, and I'm Ryan Thomas. So you've come to understand this need north of the Arctic Circle in Barrow, Alaska, and you have in your head an idea of what you want to happen, but how on earth do you start to take those first steps toward making it a reality?
You know, I was in sales, so I had a background of, you know, making presentations, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to put together a, you know, a little binder and take it to Under Armour or one of those companies, you know, that can write a check and be done with this. And of course, you know, it didn't happen anything like that. And I told my family, I said, I've got an announcement to make. I said, you know, the Lord showed me. I said, we're gonna raise the money. We're gonna give that team an artificial turf field like ours, and we're gonna teach them how to play the game. And my oldest son laughed. He was like, Mom, that's ridiculous. He said, that's, you can't do it. He said, there's no roads going into that place. And, you know, he was so right. You know, it was so ridiculous. And I think that's part of the story, you know. And even when I was writing the book and I was recapping the things, I thought, what was I thinking? You know, it was so much bigger than me and so much bigger than anything that I could ever imagine. And that's what, you know, my oldest son, it was at a time of his life where he was in the media a lot. He was heavily recruited. He ended up going to Clemson and playing both football and baseball there. But he was like, Mom, you know, this is a good idea and all, but if it doesn't work, this is going to be embarrassing. And I was like, you know, I know it, you know. And but I was able to share with him, you know, that, you know, Kyle, if this is the Lord, you know, he'll help us. You know, he'll help us with it and go before us and just get people on board with us. And that is exactly what happened. You know, people started coming on board to help us. And all I did was just talk about it. I didn't have any skills other than that. I'm just telling, you know, the vision and telling what we wanted to do. And people just started. Just ordinary people, you know, just I can help in this way and I can help in that way. We had an architect to come on board. We had a transportation specialist. We had, you know, just on and on and on, people that volunteered their giftings, their resources, their expertise. And it just fit all together.
So it really is this incredible community that comes together around this vision that you say really did, you really believe come from God, that allowed this all to happen. Talk a little bit about the scale, just the massive scale of what you're able to do, bringing this football field to Barrow, but also some of the real challenges that you had to overcome to do it.
You know, the short story was, you know, that we transported 650,000 pounds into a place that had no roads going into it, and built a field, and you know, it transformed a community. But it was, and we brought the team to Florida. So there were so many things like that that happened, but it wasn't without tremendous struggle, tremendous doubt, with so many times being up against the wall, mm-hmm. and just being like, what was I thinking? You know, this is not going to work. You know, it was just so difficult. But because it was so much bigger, and because it was so ridiculous, and so something that we can't do in the natural on our own, that only God could bring the right people at the right time to do, it was just one of those things that's undeniable. I mean, it was in less than 6 months from us making an announcement and doing a press conference on our football field in Jacksonville, Florida, to the team playing on their brand new field in front of national media was less than 6 months.
Wow. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is the voice of Kathy Parker, an incredible story detailed in the new book, Northern Lights, One Woman, Two Teams in the Football Field that Changed Their Lives. You mentioned it in multiple locations there as you take us through that sketch. But it's been said about your book that it is about this incredible journey. It's about these two football teams and two communities. But it is mm-hmm. primarily a book about faith. Is that a yeah. fair statement that's been made?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because one of the first reviews that came out, someone said, I thought it was going to be about football, and it wasn't, you know, and they were disappointed, you know, and they were like, she talks all, you know, so much about her faith. And I just sort of laughed because I'm like, you know what? I wrote it. I can talk about what I want to talk about. But, you know, that it is, and it was, and it has done that for me. You know, the thing that whole story did for me, and I will tell you, it was hard for me to even talk about it when it happened because I was still living it. I really couldn't, you know, look and think about what all had happened, you know. But as time went on and I was able to reflect, I was like, oh my goodness, what a miracle. Yes, it is about faith. It is about stepping out and coming against your fears. I mean, in my case, when I was told by a public relations firm that was helping us, and they said, you know, Kathy, you need to hold a press conference. I was like, I don't want to hold a press conference. You know, that was the hardest thing for me to think, okay, I'm going to actually get on stage and talk and say that I'm going to do something that is so massive, that costs so much money, that's going to impact several states. You know, I was like, you know, there's no turning back from this, you know. And it was one of those things that my stomach was just in knots, you know, because I knew that I was putting myself out there, you know. And I knew there would be people that would not think it was a good idea and that would come against me, you know. And I was a big people pleaser. So that fear in me was gripping, and I had to make a decision, you know, am I going to, because fear will stop you in your tracks, you know, fear will keep you from reaching your destiny, but, you know, is it worth it? You know, is it worth the risk? And I'm so glad that, you know, I did step out and I didn't let it stop me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that really did strike me as one of the universal applications of your story, because, you know, not every one of us is going to move an artificial turf football field north of the Arctic Circle, but every single one of us has to deal with fear.
And I've met many people through telling the story that have come up to me with tears in their eyes because they were like, they were stopped, you know, because somebody told them it was ridiculous or it was impossible and that, you know, they were too afraid, you know, to step out and to do something that God had put on their heart. So I hope that that's what my story does, that it encourages people that, okay, you know, God's given me this vision. God's given me the faith, and that's enough, you know, to see it through. Yeah. And I had many points through, and I talk about them in the book about how that, you know, I just came to dead ends, and there was absolutely no way it could happen, and that just that faith would rise up, and God would give me, you know, wisdom and how to go forward, and we would pray. I had a group of people that would pray, and just another miracle after another miracle would happen.
It's incredible. I mean, it is nothing short of incredible. And you talk about getting out there and doing something that really did make you fear, but it was part of this outreach, this incredible outreach that raised $500,000 in less than 6 months. I mean, try to imagine just how on earth a person goes about marshaling that kind of support. Take us inside a little bit of the nitty gritty about how it came to be.
We had a transportation specialist out of Jacksonville that had heard through Rotary, me speaking at a Rotary group about the project and had volunteered his company to come on board. And when he started making calls to find out about the cost of transportation into this particular region, into this very remote area, he was given the answer, it cannot be done. You know, we don't even want to quote you because what you're asking, it cannot be done.
Wow.
That's how hard it was. So when you're thinking about transporting products and they came out of the state of Georgia and Pennsylvania and then came out of Canada. And then, you know, there's a place that doesn't have roads into it. We used every mode of transportation through the lower 48, semis, and then they were put on trains, and then in Seattle, the heaviest of the products were put on a barge that left from Seattle that went into the state, and then the products got stuck again, and we had private airline that made several different jumps to get the products all the way in. So it was just an amazing thing with 13 transportation companies coming together to make sure that it happened. And then people all over the United States, you know, I told you my idea was to get one company to write a big check, and that didn't happen at all.
Yeah.
But it was people just all over the United States that would read about it and they would, or hear about it on the radio, and they would give. And we'd get little notes that would say, you know, athletics had an impact on my children or myself or on my grandchildren, and this is something we want to do.
Today we're tracing the incredible story detailed in the book Northern Lights. Kathy Parker joins us on Faith Radio's On the Road. Ryan Thomas is my name. And Kathy, you've noted that when it came to the reactions of people who were excited to be participating in this story with you, they noted something pretty much invariably, which was, we love the fact that this is not something that is going to benefit us, but it is something that's going to benefit somebody else. Talk a little bit about why that was so special for people and for you.
It was for somebody else. It wasn't a field for their children, you know, a field that they were going to see in their community. It was for another community. And, you know, many would never even see it, you know. But it was just an amazing thing that people wanted to be a part of that. And they were able to. And it would not have happened if it hadn't have been, you know, people just giving, you know, from all over. And they had a sense of ownership. There was an elderly lady that She had really prayed for the project, and she had given. And I remember seeing her one day, and she said, "How are our boys in Alaska doing?" You know, and I just thought, you know what? She's right. You know, they were hers, you know, because she was just as much a part of it as I was.
Yeah.
You know, so just everybody playing their part is so important. You know, we think, you know, one time I met with a man, and I was telling him about it. And he said, "Well, Kathy, I can't give you the kind of money you need." And I told him, I said, "You know, if everybody that heard about it just gave a little bit,
that's right,
you know, we'd
absolutely
be done." You know,
there is a fairy tale end to this story, which, of course, is one of the many reasons that, from what I understand, a major motion picture is in development of this story. But Barrow, after this field is installed and the program begins, Barrow wins the state championship in football, and you had the chance to be there, right?
I was very fortunate to be at that game, and I'm sitting there thinking, this cannot get any better. And then they announced that the team that wins the highest GPA out of the state was Barrow Whalers, and I thought, well, it just did get better, you know. And so you have those kind of tangible things of, yes, they learned to play the game, they learned to play it well, their grades improved. You know, we had it on paper within 2 years after having that football field, their graduation rate doubled. So we had those kind of factors, you know, that were, you know, tangible things. But the thing that was even greater than that was the hope that it gave them. And, you know, when I went for the first time and flew over that field, and I was in a helicopter with ABC News, and we flew over it, and of course I'm just weeping, you know, it's the blue, it's bright blue, and the end zones are yellow, and it's just the most beautiful thing, and the tundra is so different. It was, I had never seen anything like it. I had heard that, you know, it was without a lot of color when everything thaws out. You know, one of the native people had told me everything's a shade of gray, and I didn't really understand that until I saw it for myself, and they're right, because you can't grow any vegetation and it's very flat. Everything is just very gray. And in photos, you really have to look to be able to distinguish the air, the land, and the sea from each other, because they're all just shades of gray. So you have this field that I picked it out because, number one, that was their colors, but the turf company tried to sell it to me, and finally I was like, "Well, is it cheaper?" And they were like, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." You know, and I was a little disappointed at first because I was like, it won't look like grass, you know, it'll look, it's blue, you know. But it was perfect. It was so perfect because it was just beautiful, royal blue, and just such a symbol of people coming together and loving a community and showing them grace and love. And it was just the most amazing thing to be able to see it and to be able to share that, you know, with them. It was life changing for us in Florida. The team came to Florida from Alaska, came to Florida, and they stayed in our homes for a week and participated in camp with our team, and being able to see our boys give back and teach them the game was just the most amazing thing. So there were so many things that were life changing about it. But when you sow loving kindness, you know, you just can't go wrong there. And, you know, many times, you know, you start off and we were like, we're trying to do something for them. But I promise you, we got so much more in return. You know, it gave us, you know, just so much respect for the native people that live there, for their culture, for their values, things that we have taken for granted at times. And so just very, very thankful for the relationships that we have made.
Well, it's an absolutely extraordinary story. That really is the way to describe it. Once again, the book is called Northern Lights, One Woman, Two Teams, and the Football Field That Changed Their Lives. Kathy Parker has been with us today on the road, and what a treat to get to hear this story firsthand from Kathy. But I know available wherever fine books are sold, Kathy, but when you start the journey on the web, where's the best place to go first?
Okay, they can go to my website and get it. It's Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, B as in boy, Parker.com. So KathyBParker.com. And I will be more than happy to fill an order and send it to them.
Well, and we're excited to see the movie coming up before too long as well. So many more fascinating and inspiring pieces to this book. One more time, Northern Lights, one woman, two teams in the football field that changed their lives. What a pleasure to meet you today, Kathy. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ryan. I really love doing it.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.